It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes podcast. I am Zach Oyama, and I'm here, and I'm joined by my friend Jasper William Cartwright. Jasper, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. You put a lot of emphasis on friend there, and that actually like made me feel really special. Thank you.
My friend and nothing else.
Whoa, okay, so we don't...
What? No affiliation with this podcast.
Okay, whatsoever. sure. Feeling less good about the fact that you said friend now. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I just had to ruin it somehow. Yeah. I just wanted to ruin it.
Yeah. And you did. You did a really good job of doing that, so well done. I guess.
That's always good. Yeah. That's always good energy to bring. We finished the first arc in the public feed. Can you believe it?
It's wild. I love the sorry, I wanted to bring this up because I love the end of arc one, the little wrap ups for like just the idea that Brenda Elizabeth just disappears like off into the sunset, like on a horse. I remember, like, even now, the amount of people that are just like, I wonder where Brenda Elizabeth is. And part of me, as much as I desperately want Emily Axford to come back, I feel like we can never answer that question. Like, we just, it's just always a question mark. Where is Brenda Elizabeth? Who knows?
There's something fun about the unknown. Yeah. I do have some ideas, but they're, you know, keeping it kind of mysterious has been really fun.
Yeah, it's just very fun, the idea that she just ran away and no one's ever seen her again. It's extremely exciting.
Well, Dazzlerazz's eyes glowed. And there's sort of a horse prophecy happening somewhere, I imagine.
Yeah.
And of course she had to be there for it.
Obviously. It's very important. Man, Oops All Horses is going to be one hell of an arc.
Well, hey, we're starting arc two now.
Woo!
With a brand new series of rotators, including, I mean, carrying on from the previous arc, we have Mike Trapp.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we have two newcomers to the Rotating Heroes in the past, Allie Beardsley and Jacob Wysocki.
Very exciting.
And what is different about this episode? We have a session zero coming.
Yeah, this is like us. I wasn't there at the time. I feel like I was there. I feel like I've always been there, just lurking in the background. But no, this was you guys.
To be clear, you were there for every record, silently in the corner.
Yes. Yeah. It was just it was strange because it was during the pandemic as well, and mixing wasn't allowed. But I flew over from England anyway, to be in the corner. And you didn't know me as well, which made it even more awkward. Mm-hmm. It really attests.
I didn't get it. I didn't know how to. I assumed some kind of communication got lost, and I just went with it.
Sure. Yeah, you just rolled with it, and I think that's really, really impressive. I think that this session zero, I'm excited for us to release this in the public feed because I feel like it adds a lot of context, specifically for Jacob's character. You would be. I think you would be lost without listening to this. This is essential listening for arc two, which is why we're putting it on the public feed. You need to hear this.
If you're ever wondering why Jacob is being like that, this is going to be the episode for you.
And I am so excited for people to hear what will eventually be the voice reveal in episode one, because it's just it's a whole journey to behold. So I can't wait for it. I really can't wait.
Yeah, exciting. Well, without further ado, take it away, Pass Zach.
Take it away.
Hello and welcome to Arc 2, Episode 0 of the Rotating Heroes podcast. We're joined by the second Arc's crew. And you know, the premise of the podcast was you rotate the heroes in and out. So just a whole new slew of heroes every new arc. But we decided to get this going with a gentle bit of... a gentle, slow rote, if you will, with one character from the previous arc continuing on. That character joins me today. You may know him from the previous five campaign episodes, the previous five arc barks, where he pretty much gave me a hard time the entire time. I'm joined today by Michael Trapp.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to giving you more of a hard time in these coming episodes and just, you know, generally roasting you in these side conversations while you have control over my character in the other conversations.
Okay. Well, you know.
I'm happy to be here.
Okay, great. So this arc follows Turbine continuing on in this same world. Turbine has, I should also say this, this is a session zero. If you don't know what that is, that means it's an episode where we talk about the upcoming arc and we talk about what our characters will be like within that world and just sort of kind of throw out ideas, classes, things like that. So you can just kind of get a feel for where we're coming from before we actually jump into the story. We already know Turbine, though.
Although Turbine's gone through some big changes.
Yes, at the end of the arc, spoilers for that first arc, be weird. Well, you know, maybe you're just huge stands of the other two people joining this arc and haven't heard the first arc. But spoilers for the first arc, at the end of that... Turbine was a lore bard who was obsessed with this amazing obelisk that has been sitting up over their town for 50 years, sort of like a Disney stan, if you will, but for this obelisk. Towards the end of this story, he combines with this clockwork amulet that creates within him the clockwork soul, and he becomes a new sorcerer. So that's a pretty exciting and new stuff for Turbine, and I'm sure you're coming to terms with that this arc, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was this sort of thing. Like, I'm sure you could hear it in the edit where I was like, I don't. Right. It's like, should my voice change for this? Should I? Like, how much of a different person am I now? Because it feels like you would emerge from that just a completely different person.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of that arc, it's like you had been this whole new class for maybe hours of the whole like day and a half that arc took place over. And so maybe you haven't really delved into who your new version of Turbine is yet. So
I'm going to spend a lot of this arc just like staring into mirrors and like gripping the sink and like looking out windows at rain falling, just like really quietly coming to terms with myself.
And you're like a little 13-year-old with horrible facial hair.
Yeah, but I might still like pull of the leftovers and do a lot of like diving into pools and screaming silently underwater and just like yelling into a pillow and stuff like that. Just so you really know, it's like, oh wow, he's really going
that's
through
deep,
some stuff.
That's deep shit.
Yeah.
That's deep shit. Well, at the end of the arc also, Turbine leaves off kind of wanting to help figure out what's going on with the obelisk, because he never really figured out all that much. I mean, you figured out how it got there and who was involved with that, but as far as fully understanding it, you're just starting to do that, and it's a longer process. And it was also kind of like decaying a little bit in the absence of the power source that it had.
It's like trying to figure out what's going wrong with a computer while it's actively breaking around you. it's like this thing keeps crashing. Why is it doing this?
To that end, this arc picks up with Turbine following a clue about the obelisk that may help save the obelisk, or help understand it a little bit at least. And he's going further west. In the initial like lore dump of this story, you have the forest all the way to the east, then you have the Sapphire Lakes, and then you have the East Sapphire Lakes. And he's picking up right at the beginning of the East Sapphire Lakes in a little town that's got a bit of a New Orleans-y vibe with a family friend whose character is a bit, we're going to find out a bit about right now. That brings us to the actual zero part of the episode. You can just introduce yourself as a human being. We got our next guest for the arc, Allie Beardsley.
Hey.
Must be the alley. Trav, when you were introduced, there was like a really big vroom sound, and it kind of sounded like you had just hopped in your car and been like, yeah, Zach, I'm gonna fuck with you this whole season. Like, sped
I'm
away.
I'm riding a motorcycle right now. Yeah. I'm just gonna rev it every time I'm talking.
Hopped
so
on the
out.
Hog.
Perhaps in Jay Leno's garage for the entire record.
That is crazy that you're so close to Jay Leno, Trav.
I mean, we're good friends from way back. I was very much not on Team Coco. I was very upset at what he did to that show and was very proud to put old Jay Leno back where he belongs for like 3 months or whatever the fuck it was.
Allie, we can describe your character in a little bit, but how you doing? What's going on?
Me as a human, I'm good. This character, baby, get ready. I went in a lot of different directions.
Great. Five different classes, one level of each, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. My name is Super Spreader. No.
You ever get a little bit of soda from each nozzle of Taco Bell?
You know how it tastes gross?
It always just tastes like orange soda. If you add orange soda to any other soda, it just tastes like orange soda.
Allie, thank you for joining the pod. Thanks for joining this arc. It's a pleasure to have you. It's a big, big, wild experiment. I'm just glad to have some buds around for it.
I'm extremely pleased to be here and to have been asked to be in this absolute chaotic group of people.
I'm fucked. I already am. I just realized how fucked I am.
I was like, well, Traps there, like, yeah, Traps. And then when I listened to the first season, I was like, oh, Traps chaotic.
Trap is a little stinker.
Yeah, so you're stinker, deeply trademark. In trouble. Maybe I'll have to put like a unifying hat on. Like, I'll just be like what a chill character.
Please.
Yeah, if you were the stable character.
I'm the voice of reason this arc.
Well, before we get into Allie's character, let's introduce the third guest for the pod. I think what's interesting about this group of people so far is that if you listen to Dimension 20 or NADPOD or whatever, you know people from that, or you know people from College Humor, you would know everyone we've described so far pretty well if you're fans of any of that. And now we have our first little bit of dipping out of that sort of cannibalistic pond to just a little bit of a like slight different Venn diagram. We have a good friend of mine, the very funny, who's also actually been in a couple of College Humor things as well. Mm-hmm. The very funny, talented Jacob Wysocki.
What's up? What's up?
Oh, we got
it's
the
me,
what's up frog.
It's me. Or, no, I'm guy? Here. Yeah. I'm a D-list College Humor cast member.
You just have to contextualize it. I didn't mean to say that you were a D-list College Humor.
Life on the D-list of College Humor.
Which is like the Z-list.
Crazy enough, Kathy Griffith is also on that D-list. Yeah. The College
she's
Humor
been,
one.
She's been in a few more sketches than I have, Kathy.
Yeah, but she's
F-list
been EP on a lot.
College Humor universe, F-list would be... Rita Wilson, Khloe Kardashian, Jacob. Thank you for joining. Just how are you doing? What's going on with you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm really excited to be here. It's great to have a little more to do in my day to day. You know, it's really important for me as a person who lives at home alone to just get as much in my day to day as possible. I'm packing it in. I'm enriching my life, and this is adding to it. So thank you. And I also have to say, I think it's really rare that somebody who's an announcer gets brought up from the little leagues to play in the big leagues.
Thank you for reminding me. You also may know Jacob as the voice in the Rotating Heroes Pod theme song. he presents the podcast. He is the very herald of this podcast.
It's an honor to have been picked up. It's like if Dan Harmon came back to SNL.
Dan Harmon came back to SNL?
Daryl Hammond, sorry.
It's Do you remember how Dan Harmon was doing all the announcements?
Like, what are you talking about?
Why did we hire this guy to do this?
Man. Look, we all bounce back from a cancel in different ways.
Yeah.
He just starts doing announcements for SNL.
Jacob, you know, everyone who's listening, who's listened to maybe Dimension 20 or NatPod or whatever, has pretty like extensive knowledge of both Trap and Beardsley's experience with D&D, you know, like where do you fall on that spectrum? I played one of the two times I DM'd before doing this podcast was with you and some of our other friends.
Yes.
But outside of that, what's your D&D experience?
I'm a fairly new D&D explorer. I would say I started my first campaign like casually 3 years ago with some friends, and we probably played like a 6 or 9 month campaign that was very fun and like a great introduction, I think, to D&D, and then completely like stopped playing, and then the pandemic started. And now I play D&D with the, if I add this campaign, I now play 4 days a week. So like I'm hooked. I love it. It's like completely taken over the space of improv.
That's a fucked up amount of time to play D&D a week.
It's a lot. It's fucked up. But I, like I said, I need enriching things in my life. I need
Give me structure.
Yeah.
I need it.
And it does kind of fill that improv void a little bit for me.
It totally is. Like when you're saying that, it was making me think like how many of like the improv people I know have sort of just like, especially during the pandemic, have kind of drifted over to D&D because it's like, okay, cool. It's communal storytelling that we can all do, and it can still scratch that itch of like we're kind of making something together, but we can do it over Zoom without it feeling a little. Weirdly, like, I think hooky. Like Zoom D&D feels less awkward than like an improv show Zoom.
The translation is a lot more accessible for sure.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's way more easy to like have fun and be like, yeah, I'm my guy and I'm playing around with my friends.
Yeah,
yeah, like in D&D, like you're already just sitting. Like,
yes,
you're not actively, you know, like improv scene running around. I should say, speaking of improv, me, Jacob, and Beardsley are all on the same improv team at UCB called Yeti, where we would, you know, run around and scream and, you know, like maybe get hit in the head with a chair.
We'd have a blast.
Very active participating in each other's stories. So, yeah, I feel like everyone who does improv is generally pretty good at D&D.
Yes.
Little mono scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little,
you know, a little pretty flower.
Yeah, a little ongoing mono scene.
But I'm excited.
And your soul doesn't fall out of your body if a move you try doesn't work.
Yes. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah. I just like,
oh, that didn't work. Yeah. Okay, cool, yeah. Fine.
I was just being my character. Yeah. I was just being my character.
I'm excited to play with a new group of people. Because two of my campaigns are like weird mix matches of the same people, which is not bad, but it's like, you know, it's fun to extend and see how other people approach playing the game. So I'm excited to get like a new perspective on like play style and stuff like that. So it'll be fun. Ooh. Especially most of the people I play with I feel like not as much experience as you guys. So it'll be really fun for me.
Get ready for a fucking master class, dude.
Wee, baby. Yeah. I think like, I don't know if there's, I mean, because Allie, like, I've only started playing recently, and you hadn't played before Dimension 20, right?
Yeah, true.
So,
but guys have hours under your belt. You know what I mean?
Like 10,000 hours to be exact.
You have a lot of hours, and by such a skilled DM, not knocking any of the DMs I work with, but you got the master class, you know, and so I get to leech. It's like if Harry Potter was a teacher.
Yes. And we all learn.
Which brings
from
me to my character.
He's a wizard, but he kind of sucks. He's always assigning
he's
homework.
He's got this crazy scar, and he's a teacher. This did make me think, you guys, for like Zoom improv. I'm like, what if it was a continual improv?
Like multiple mono scenes that are all
yeah,
just
like
one
and
continuous.
Like we would revisit, like we would pop into different worlds again. I don't know. Anyway,
Are you pitching to think about. A Zoom
we're gonna do a different show?
In the...
It's something to
do
think
we stop
about.
And do that.
I'm using this as a Yeti meeting. Okay, we are. Yeah, sure. We're missing five people from the team, but I'm just
and I don't belong in here.
Yeah. I'm happy to pivot. I'm happy to observe a. And just do that. We can just do that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's call in everybody else. Let's get Lou on the horn.
I'll invite him now. We're having a meeting right now. Everyone forgot.
I made such a mistake. I brought chips and spicy labneh into my room as though I was going to eat them during this. No, I'm fucking not.
What's
this microphone?
Dairy.
Oh, it's so good.
What is it? You keep showing it, but I'm not sure that I understand.
It's like a yogurty kind of thing. It's somewhere between like a yogurt and a cheese.
Yes, okay. And so this is a
like
little
a
bit of a dip. Yes, and this has garlic, parsley, and red pepper in it.
Nice.
Put that with
What's
some
the
chips.
Origin of labneh, like is it
Mediterranean?
Herbs.
I think.
Mediterranean.
Long ago, there was a curse put upon. I don't know where I'm going with this. Origin sounds like it's got a.
Harry
epic
walked
backstory.
Into the classroom with a pepper and some cheese. Harry Potter must not return to Hogwarts.
Trap, please don't make a new character suddenly. And you would kill me. You would absolutely kill me. Speaking of the Mediterranean, I think of this arc. Nice. I'm trying so hard to segue. Wow. This arc kind of takes place, or at least starts, in a little bit of a New Orleans-y Mediterranean kind of crossover area off the coast of these lakes. The clue that Turbine's following is on the other side of these lakes. So he has to get there. But I think he will cross paths with the rest of the characters at the start in this sort of like more New Orleans vibe city. Allie, do you mind giving us a little bit of a sneak peek as to where you're coming from or what's going on? What can we expect or not expect? Also, I should say, all of this is not set in stone. Some of this may change, but let's throw out some vibes.
Okay. I guess I'll take you on a little journey. I'll take you enter my thought palace.
Should I bring some water? Are we?
Yeah, definitely bring some water, some snacks. So when you said we were going to be on a boat, my mind immediately went to cruise ship improviser. And I just wanted to be the most unbelievable person who is just like lifer cruise ship improviser. And then I thought, okay, is this even fun? So I had to go back to the drawing board because I decided maybe that would be
to
too
really
insufferable. Really, really important question. So I just really had to start over. I scrapped cruise ship improviser. And then I thought, who are some of my favorite people I've ever met? And I remembered, so my mom, not a lot of people know this because I don't like to share it, but my mom is a dog breeder. And I know we're in
You've
Los Angeles.
This before,
we're in Los Angeles. We're in the fucking land of the rescue dog who rescued who. My mom fucking breeds $2,000 pedigreed wiener dogs.
Whoa. That is true. It is. It does feel like something that is like kind of apolitical, but is the kind of thing that if you shared it with almost anyone here, they'd be like, "Oh my god!" No.
And she doesn't deserve the rap, okay? Look, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. She was like, this is a cash stream. I'm a stay-at-home mom. This is what I'm doing. She doesn't do it anymore. So anyway, through growing up, I came into contact with just a lot of older dog breeders. It's a very specific type of woman. I would argue that they are exclusively Monster Energy drink fueled women. Okay. And I really want to be a drunken master monk that is fueled only by monster energy drinks.
Oh my God.
You were not looking for a chaotic campaign, right, Zach?
Yeah, right, Zach? So I'm very obviously Trap's mom's friend. I want to say I'm one of those. I'm definitely an older woman. Okay, but
okay.
You cannot tell my sexuality, and I will not give you any clues about it. Okay.
Okay.
For all you know, I'm interested in no one and everyone.
Okay.
You're making me think of this English teacher I had in high school who was like I'm kind of just combining like you, this person from your life, this person from my life now, but was just like just think like high school English teacher who always wore scarves, you know, like that, like, and like not like a scarf around the neck, but like silk scarves that were just these like flowy, like kind of like vaguely new agey kind of stuff, but like wouldn't talk new agey things. It was just this sort of like just this weird vibe of like you maybe were in like a hippie commune where everyone like fucked each other's brains out, yeah. Or you maybe were like the most boring person in the world before this and are just like putting on this like
you just like the flow.
You just like the flow, yeah. You know, the vibe.
Yeah. I'm certainly so old, but so flexible. Okay. Like, I drop
sort of
something.
Flexibility. Is
then
it a
from
natural?
The hip, fold yeah. over, pick up a little dog treat, you know.
Are you breeding dogs, though? You are breeding dogs.
I am actively breeding dogs during this campaign, yes, Zach.
No, I just was curious because, like, you know, dog breeder vibe, maybe it's a different type of animal in this world. But it, yeah, if it's dogs, it's dogs.
Unfortunately, it is just dogs. I'm aware that my imagination could have taken us anywhere, but it is pure breed long-haired dachshunds.
Oh, gorgeous. Oh. Absolutely gorgeous.
They're so cute. It's just so funny because I grew up in such a Christian household and dog breeding just brings such an insane element where my mom is like, yeah, the bitch is coming over in 5 minutes. And then there's just like fucking dogs all over our house. And all these like adults are like looking out the window and watching them fuck and being like, good. Yeah. It's honestly psychotic.
Be fruitful and multiply. Oh, all this has to be.
I just want absolutely to kind of dive boop right into that vein of my upbringing.
I like how you shifted from being a performer on a cruise ship to like an attendee on a cruise ship.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone who's like loves cruises.
Yeah. Have you been on a cruise before?
No. I really, really want to go. It's so disgusting.
It's I've been on one cruise the first year out of college where it was like had like working like had almost no money, but like we were like but we had like vacation time that my wife and I like well, we've got to do something with this vacation, but we don't have a lot of money to spend. And so we took an off-season cruise to Bermuda, so which is like the absolute like it's like it's not in the because Bermuda's not like the same parallel as like North Carolina, so it's like it's not actually that warm in the winter. You're not going that far. It's like the middle of February or whatever. And
D-tier.
And like and just like it's like room and board's already paid for. Everything's there, you know. Like you just like you pay that like that $200 up front and you're good for 3 days or whatever the hell it is. And I've never felt like so completely out of my element of just like what is going on in this place? What is everyone doing? Everyone was just like everyone like had their own like there are all these like people who like did cruises who were like this is
how
what
old
I do.
Were you?
This was first year out of college, so it was like okay. 21, 22, whoa. Somewhere around there. Yeah, just like everyone had like their hacks of like here's how you get extra lobster. It's like I don't need extra lobster. What are you talking about?
I'm trying to milk this cruise for all it's worth.
Truly. People were calling us stupid because we weren't ordering everything off the menu. Because they're like, it's already paid for. You can order whatever you want. You just order everything and you send back the stuff you don't
like. You're an idiot, man. You're not being a pig.
Truly. No, truly.
Why
that's
are
like
you being a fucking slob.
That's the smallest exaggeration of what. And you have a signed table mate. So you had to sit with these same like.
Man, I spent $200, man. I'm trying to eat $600 worth of shrimp.
Yep.
That's, I don't know. I don't think I could do it. I think I would just be like, I'm trapped in a city. like.
Yeah. I don't know what I expected, but it was like, this is not what I expected, and it's very weird. There's like a vibe here that I can't escape because I'm on a boat in the middle of the ocean.
The only thing close to a cruise I've ever done, I've been on a good bit of boats just because, like, where I'm from in Alabama, a lot of people had lake houses and you'd go, like, water skiing and stuff. Like, we didn't have one, but it was just, like, a popular thing for, like, a majority of the people I grew up with.
Been on a lot of boats.
I've been on a good
been
bit
on
of
a
boats.
Little boats.
I've been on a good bit of boats.
A big about boats.
Good bit of boats.
But so I've done a lot of tubing and water skiing and stuff, but like always come back that same night.
Nobody can see it, but the way everybody nodded when you said tubing, it's so funny.
Everybody was like, yes, I do know tubing, and that would be fun. Tubing.
I'm aware. Yes, tubing. Yeah. Mm.
And I mean tubing behind a boat where they try to thrash you around and knock you off. It's
where it's someone's older brother who you're what is your life? How are you spending an entire afternoon like ruining mine?
Yeah. Tubing is like a perfect activity in that it feels like someone's stupid idea that should have ended horribly, but it was like, nah, this worked. We're just going to keep doing this forever. And like, there's not a lot of opportunities to go tubing. So like when it comes up, it's like, yeah, let's do that. Let's do this.
My God, it's
thing.
The most fun thing in the world. I've countless hours being absolutely rocked on a lake. But by my friend Ed's dad, just whipping us in circles. You just hit that cross wake that's coming the other way after you've gone it, and just like, like skipping across the water like a stone when you can't hold on to the handles anymore.
Yeah, it's like a drunk adult pulling a bunch of idiot teenagers on a lake all day long, and somehow it's like, oh, we all survived. Great, let's do this again next year.
We'd do four tubes, everyone on their own tube, and you try to battle tube. So like, if I'm swinging in from the outside of the wake into the other side of the wake, and they're all over there, I'm kicking that tube as hard as I can to flip my friend. And then his little brother and his friend are on the other side. A kid jumped on my back once, and then my head hit him in the head. It's like so dangerous, like horrible.
Not a lot of advancement in tubing technology over the last 2 or 3 decades.
Truly.
It's popular, you know, but they just, they're like you said, Trap, they're just in their lane and they're not trying to get out of it.
Yeah, like rope
I will
and
say
a tube.
There have been a couple of advancements. They've changed tube aerodynamics. Some of them are really airplane shaped versus like circular inner tube.
Okay, more like triangular.
That feels like
you
something
air with that.
That feels like something in like 20 years or something where it's like oh, the Olympics is going to Mississippi or something, and they always have like those weird like one-off, like it's like, oh, this is this special sport we're doing just for this year, just in this city, and it would be like some like hyper technical tubing event where it's like, yeah, we've got these high-tech tubes and we're gonna do weird tubing tricks.
Yeah,
I feel like that would be fun. And
we had at church camp, we had a big banana that everyone would try to ride, and it was near impossible to stay up on. Was the thing, is it's like kind of impossible to ride.
It's like riding a mechanical bull or something. Like the fun is seeing like how long you can hang on for.
I think it was abstinence training, honestly. Like, the symbolism is there. They're like, oh yeah, you want to ride the banana?
Well,
I'm going to kill you. I'm going to fucking kill you, freshman.
Some youth pastor just like, oh, yeah, that, you know, when are you guys going to focus up and listen to God just slamming you into the water? It's a wake up call.
A wake up call.
Of the guy who's like,
I said a wake up call.
Bang, bang, dude. Bang, bang.
Just now what I said?
Smack it on him, dude.
A lake-up call? Is that what you said?
I said a lake-up call.
She said a wake-up call. Smack it on him. You heard it here first.
Apologies. I have you ever seen that video of the youth pastor who who's talking about this kid who like won't listen to him? He's like, and he's a smart one, you know, which is a bad thing. And he was talking about you know, this, you know, why does God do this? Why does God do that? And then I just laid him out and punched this kid square in the chest. and I said, you know, whatever the kid's name is, when are you gonna come to God?
What?
And right there, that kid changed his attitude entirely. And it's just like, no, I think he just beat a child.
Yeah, he just hit a kid.
His demeanor totally changed when an adult hit him in the face.
This guy's giving a sermon. And it's just like, that's the story.
Oh my God.
Everyone's just like, yeah, it is insane.
That's like anything I listen to. Sometimes, yeah, whatever. I'm sorry. We're completely off track. But sometimes I do a deep dive into media that I know I will hate, but I just want to know what the other side is up to. So I'll do like a Proud Boys deep dive. And that's completely how they talk. It's just like, I walked up to my friend and I punched him right in the face. And I said, welcome to the Proud Boys. They do like improv warm-ups while everyone is like beating your ass. Like, you have to name breakfast cereals.
Yeah, that's true.
I've seen some videos of that, and it's like the most underwhelming shit I've ever seen. It's like the least tough thing I've ever seen.
It's just like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah.
Dude, I don't think there's one this is like, there's no place for this in a D&D podcast, but I'm going to say it. I think no Proud Boys would ever throw hands, dude. I think they're all babies. None of them want to toss up, dude.
Yeah, they're all.
I think, I feel like that's how the vibe I'm getting as they like continue on. It used to be very scary to me, and I feel like there were some videos that seemed scary, but like I've just seen more and more videos lately where they like, I don't know, guys. These guys don't seem that tough.
I feel like there's some like guys who only want to fight that are in the Proud Boys. There's some kind of like weird like. Sieging the capital motherfuckers who are like also Proud Boys, but I don't think they're Proud Boys first.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they're Hell's Angels first.
Cool. Well, I mean,
dude, Zach called me before we recorded, and Zach was like, please don't make it political. Please don't make the pop. Please, dude. And I gave him my word.
There could be some Proud Boys listening, Jacob. You ever think of that? I need to keep them as my patrons. No, not at all. Not at all.
Just joshing.
Beardsley, do you have a name in mind for this?
I think I'm going to be just kind of like a, it's like a really Southern name, but I'm certainly don't have that accent. You have no idea where I'm from. Once again, this woman is, you can't tell where she's going, where she's from.
Mysterious past.
Her name's Nancy. Her name's Nancy Ray. And her last name is Gan.
Gan? Nancy Ray Gan?
This is my husband, Ronald. Okay. He's got big ambitions. God.
Wow.
You can call her Nance.
I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
Might be a veto.
Nancy Reagan?
How often are you going to hear her last name? Her name's Nancy Wright. Yeah, her last name's Gan.
You could be Barb Rawbush or something like that, maybe, if Nancy Reagan doesn't work.
Yeah.
Melania Tur. Awful. Well, moving on, let's just hear a little bit. I mean, we'll circle back in some other ways, but moving on.
Didn't even get a segue for that one. Just, we're done. We're done talking about
moving
Republican
the fuck on.
Hey, man. Moving on from this administration to the next.
Ooh.
That bit was a tipper snore.
Jacob. Well, okay. So this is maybe how it made sense for this character to kind of know Turbine's character. But then it also makes sense for Nancy Reagan to maybe know the next character, Jacob's character, who also is in this town already. Jacob, do you have a little bit of a vibe? You want to give us a little story of your character?
Oh, I'll give you a little bit of a taste. Okay, I'll start with the name. We'll go name first, if that's okay.
Sure.
I'd love to introduce the world to Grib. G-R-I-B. Grib. Yes. He's a Luxodon druid.
Oh, awesome.
So Luxodon, for those who don't know, is an elephant person. Like a humanoid elephant.
Yes, yeah, sort of an anthropomorphic elephant. He's a big boy. He's like 7'9". He's big.
Damn.
He's a big boy. Damn. He's got his tusks. And you may have not seen a lot of Luxodons around here. He certainly has never seen another Luxodon. He's never seen anybody that looks like him. And his whole big thing is he's a normal guy. He's normal. he's just one of the guys. He lives in the town. He has a job. He works for a boating company. And he's just normal. He's got a job. He's got a dream. He wants a plot. He's a farmer. He wants to just be able to grow his veggies, his sweet, delicious veggies, and eat good.
Small town guy with small town dreams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just trying to...
Normal fish, normal pond.
Keep on keeping on. Just small advancements.
Head down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Must be difficult to be so unique in a place where there are less people like you.
Grib wouldn't have any idea what you're talking about. He would have no idea what you meant by that. He wouldn't understand.
So sad.
How tall do you guys think Nancy Ray is?
I want to say 5'6". Or
I'm gonna go 4'11". 4'11".
I'm just gonna Wikipedia. Hold on a second. I'm trying to think.
Wikipedia average dog breeder height.
let's see.
How tall do you think Nancy Ray Gann is?
I mean, I'm
how guess, tall is Grant?
Could you believe that the Wikipedia entry for Nancy Reagan doesn't have her height? I feel like if I go away from Nancy, if I actually am imagining this character, I'm imagining someone who's very like willowy. Is it like
she's 6'4". She's 6'4". She's never not in a sun hat.
Must yep, be difficult yep. to be 6'4 and breed dachshunds. You're always bending so far down.
She's flexible.
That's
why you gotta stretch.
Yeah, she's got a person who's
like just
stretch
on
her
your
arms
back muscles.
She's the kind of older woman who will get on the ground to prove that she can do the human pretzel without realizing how unbelievably sexual that pose is. And everyone just kind of is like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, please get back up.
This person is gaunt.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could describe them as
lanky.
Gaunt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
6'4".
I like that. So the previous arc, it was me, a gnome, a halfling, and a dwarf. It was a very tiny party. And now it's going to be the a real Slim Jim of a lady and a Luxodon and little tiny old me. Little tiny me.
Eat me.
Eat me.
So, Trap, I should say, yeah, this is a mostly human area. I think that's like we're moving on from the little people towns into like, you know, it's like how in Lord of the Rings, how they leave the Shire and they get to the next city that has like Aragorn and, you know, larger folk. It's definitely that vibe. It's a little rougher around the edges than the pastoral city of Aberdeen. And yeah, you guys are going to be maybe 10 times as big as Trap.
I'm going to get stepped on. This sucks. Yeah,
don't worry. I'm very conscious of what's around my feet. Don't worry. That's my whole job.
None of this is set in stone. So we know that Turbine is a family friends with Nancy. Nancy and Grib, you live in the same city. How would you possibly have a connection? I mean, have you thought about that at all?
Maybe Grib is sort of the groundskeeper.
Yes, definitely. Ooh, definitely.
For Nancy Ray.
I'm really good with
beautiful grounds for the dogs.
I'm amazing with canine life. I am just not very good with plant life. You know? I like to tend to my
dogs. You'll come out while Grib is working with like a big, like sweating pitcher of lemonade and like a couple little old mason jars and like whatever the equivalent of like a plastic McDonald's cup is with paint's kind of chipping off now and just ready
and
to offer
comforting.
A nice refreshing. Yeah.
She's comforting to me.
Nancy has like several roommates. roommates?
This like, is my very good friend. My very, very good friend.
This is my very good friend, Monica.
And I live here with my three other very good friends.
It makes me wonder what happened, like, what is Turbine's mom's relationship to Nancy?
We were very close.
Huh. Okay. But when you say that, like, where, when
she would just come over and lend a hand, her and me and all the dogs, we'd go on long walks.
Okay. Okay. How long did you know each other?
What's that, kiddo?
How long did you know each other?
Oh, on and off again for a couple years.
We knew each other on and off.
Was anything happening to make you off? Would you have maybe sort of like a tumultuous relationship?
Yeah, you know, I mean, she just wasn't very communicative about what she wanted ultimately.
I don't like where this relationship is going. I don't like where this conversation
is. You got a light?
I'm not going to be doing...
The other thing I'll say...
Lights a pipe.
Oh, go for it.
What, Zach? Sorry.
Oh, the other thing I'll say is I think Mop is coming with Turbine. Mop is a human who got who came from this area, who left to like kind of visit Aberdeen, and then like through the courses of in the spoilers for the first arc, lost in this competition, and the kind of secret underbelly of what this thing actually was sort of nefarious, and they turned him into a war forged human. Ooh. So that means like he's like a robot man now, and he's also a monk, so maybe I can see some connective tissue with him and Nancy, like just trying to like, you know, monk out.
I was gonna make a Tony Shalhoub joke, but I'm out.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Damn,
sorry, I'm out.
Actually, we all know that Nancy Ray's favorite show is Monk, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Sure. Great, she's got the box set.
Yeah, it's the TBS jungle out there, yeah.
Or USA is on 100 hours a week.
Absolutely. I mean, come on. If I wanted to watch a germaphobe, I'd freaking watch... what's that show? What's that show with all the briefcases?
Keep going.
The show with all the briefcases.
I freaking watch Howie Mandel on fucking Deal or No Deal, you know what I'm saying?
Boom, we got there. It was worth it.
It's
it was
a jungle.
Cool fun.
By the end of this episode, we're going to land one of these monk jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I,
go ahead.
No, I was going to flail at a monk joke.
Come on, you got it.
And it's good that it is.
Come on,
go.
You got it. All right. Go. Come on.
Go for it, Jacob. Okay, if I was going to watch a we're talking about monk, right? If I was going to watch a germaphobe, monk, right? I'd probably something else about Deal or No Deal. Well, what's good is like I have the power to edit this out. You know what? We'll leave it.
I'm talking straight to the editors right now. Please,
that's a segment
leave
that
in.
I like to call it's Monk, is bunk. No.
Monk is bunk.
Monk is bunk.
Monk is bunk.
Jacob,
I've got a huge announcement.
Yeah.
I've got a massive announcement.
Let's hear it.
I'm not going to be talking in character because I'm going to be doing a voice reveal on the first episode.
Mm.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
So that's my announcement. There will be a voice reveal.
I love it.
Voice reveal. Can we get some voices that didn't make the cut? And again, none of this is set in stone in case Jacob bails.
Yeah. Some voices that didn't make it were kind of like a surfer guy with like nothing better to do.
Hell yeah.
Didn't make the cut.
Okay.
The Southern Gentleman did not make the cut.
Okay. Sure, sure, sure.
And then sort of like just a generic guy who's auditioning for a Skittles commercial.
Wow.
Didn't You're telling me what?
I'm Grib, UTA. Here's me tasting the rainbow.
Taste the rainbow.
All right, so Grib, you're gonna come in. You're gonna eat some of these Skittles, and then some Skittles are gonna hit you in the head, and you're gonna look up and go, "Huh,
cool,
that's odd." So Grib, whenever you're ready.
Well, I can't do it because it's you're trying to get me to reveal the voice now, and I told you there's gonna.
All right,
be
thank you. Thank you. That's all we need.
Great. Sounds good.
Oh boy. I also am pretty sure I'm going to do a voice. I just have a vibe. I don't have the voice yet though. Mm. The vibe also, is you,
go ahead.
KG.
Sorry.
KG? Vibe is what?
The vibe is what?
The KG? Vibe is KG, not Cajun.
I thought you said aging.
Well, that too, honey.
So, yeah, it's crazy that I was just thinking about how you have only ever had Brennan as a DM, right? Have you ever done any other? I guess you did that. You did some critical role thing, right?
Yeah. That was a different game, but yeah.
Yeah. Get ready for the exact same vibe. I'll be exactly like both of them, endlessly able to describe things like I'm reading a book.
Incredible. Incredible.
You know. Jacob, for Grib, is it Grib?
Grib?
Grib.
Grib.
You, what kind of druid are you again?
I'm a druid studying the Circle of Wildfire.
Ooh,
studying. Very California.
Yeah.
Very California. I am a Southern
Is that
California
why the surfer
boy.
Dude was a rejected voice?
Yeah.
Yes. But this sort of ties into his gardening roots. His ultimate goal is he understands that he's got to be able to scorch the earth to bring the nitrogen back to replenish the land.
Wow.
He's doing controlled burns. He's doing what California should be doing.
I will say...
habitats.
I was in the
He's
Redwood
practicing
Forest.
Practicing blood sugar sex magic.
I was in the Redwood Forest and there were, you know, substances involved. I was having the trip of my life, let's say. Mm. And then my friend told me that, did you know that redwood trees in the bark are seeds for more redwood trees that are only released while getting burned?
Yes.
They're like literally like it's built in there. It really is part of that circle of life. Ooh, I was not in the mind state to receive that deep of information. It truly floored me. And I was like, this is so beautiful and crazy.
Were you in the sequoias?
Yeah.
When I was there, I was like, there's like a bunch of plaques about like there's areas that were burnt out, right? Well, maybe in the same spot.
I bet we were. Yeah.
I was reading this plaque that was like kind of near like, you know, where like the like they're all like named after political things like the Senate and like the there's like this area that has like things like that
the but, underground like, chamber that they go to during a siege
there was a bunch of the fire was
Nancy Pelosi's working seditionist. Office tree
the Denver airport is actually a bunker
exactly simple shit going on in this scenario but there's a plaque about the fire that how the fire affects trees and like certain trees, like it has to burn so hot to actually kill them. Like they can withstand such an intense fire before they actually are permanently killed.
Yeah.
It's so
it's
weird.
So resilient and cool and like, yeah, just really beautiful.
Can I ask a question? How good was that fact scale 1 to 10 that they have a certain temperature they have to hit before?
Good fact.
You know,
good fact.
Like, it was a good fact.
Cool thing to think about.
It was good. Yeah.
Did you like all the concrete details within? Or
I mean, it's sort of it sparked my imagination. So I'd give it, you know, it's at least a 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It inspired me to maybe go look up more information about them.
I think I would probably call it like maybe a 7 where I would just recite that fact to other people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's a repeatable fact, I will tell you.
Yeah. I don't know the details, but I heard somewhere, I was listening to this podcast, and I'm just going to let you assume that it was an educational podcast and not going to have more information beyond that.
I'm just going to take this opportunity, anybody listening, if you get a chance to go see the Redwoods in Northern California, it's the most amazing thing. So, save up your coins.
Dare I say mid-California? It's not even that north.
Oh, well, I would prefer people to go north, but that's fine. If you want the true Redwood experience,
don't
you go
fuck with this Kings Canyon frat boy shit. You gotta go north.
If you really want to see God and go to church, you gotta go, you know, into the Emerald Triangle. So.
It is church. Amen. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Jacob, what else about this wildfire? With that, don't you have like a little familiar guy?
Yeah, so I have like a spirit of flame that sort of like comes for me. It basically assumes the wild shape role in the druid zone. And so you kind of get to pick what your guy looks like. And in all of the books and stuff, it's like depicted as this sort of Mozilla Firefox. And I was kind of like, I was thinking,
it's like kind of the standard for a minute, and then it stopped being the standard, and I don't really know why. Maybe Google.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, I was kind of thinking what my guy would look like, and I was sort of imagining, to kind of go with the gardening theme, to sort of, it's like a fire fungus. So it's sort of like an anthropomorphic, like Amanita mushroom guy. Like, imagine the Pillsbury Doughboy. But instead of the chef's hat, it's like a mushroom cap. And he's sort of like, you know, just like a embodiment of fire with a little, and the fire kind of scoops up. Yeah. But he's like my little guy.
He's so cute.
He helps me like.
I'd burn my finger on that guy's belly button.
I was wondering if you were going to say Flame Boy from World Industries.
That really got me.
What's World Industries? Is this
it's like a skate brand.
The skate brand with Flame Boy and Wet Willie.
Wet Willie.
You know, it's a little bit like Hookups. You know, all that merch that you had in high school, Hookups, Zach.
I love just making him very kind of casually and subtly Californian. He's got all these like mascots.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, Zach. But did anyone else have that at their school? They like weren't allowed at my school.
It was, I grew up in like a surf skate mecca, so it was like prominent.
It was all shop. Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I didn't. I was.
They were just like absolutely rated X, like drawings of like Alice in Wonderland with huge tits. That's why I'm like laughing about picturing rated high school X. Zach only wearing Hookups merch.
Got JNCOs and Hookups on.
They're so bad. They're truly so bad.
Alabama, there was like a bit of a skate culture when I was in like junior high, but that really does not, it gets really beaten down in high school where there's Southern fratty idiots.
I was at Venice Beach the other day going for a little bike ride, just trying to get out of the house, and I stopped by the skate park, and skate culture has been so like ingrained and force fed to me that I was looking at all these like 22-year-old dudes, and I was just like, yeah, that's like all I ever wanted to look like, was this like thin like dirt bag, like makes this shit hat look good, and it's just because he's got nice calves that he can just like you can just look like absolute shit, and it's like a fucking shirt your dad gave you before he left and like cut off jeans. And you're just like so fucking hot.
Just so hot.
I was like that. I was like, I'm grown. I'm like really happy with who I am and like what I've become. But I'm still looking at that and I'm just like, yeah, that's exact. I still want to be that scumbag for some reason.
Yeah.
It was so fed to me.
I was so shocked because I was talking to my brother and I thought, I mean, it's not like we are constantly talking about like sex and dating, but in my mind, I thought I knew his type, and he was like, no, it's, like, little skaters. I just want to, like, destroy little skater boys. And that blew my fucking mind. I was like, and then he was like, no, that's really common for gay guys to be, like, into, like, disgusting skaters who are going to give you, like, an STD with their, like, carne asada hands.
I'm more of a pastor like, boy, disgusting. But I'll take it.
My God.
Yeah, that world. I just want to say, like, the whole aesthetic is, like, zero effort, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that comes from, like, this sense of, like, it, you know, like, it's effortless cool because you don't cool. care? Yeah, yeah. It's just,
yeah.
Like, you can look like shit, and the fact that you're still so confident looking like shit means, like, oh, you have to be, like, so cool to still be, like,
I like to think about it. Like, I think you're absolutely right, but I do think that there's a kernel of truth that, like, all cool things do come from something, like, very natural and utilitarian.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, you probably just didn't care about what you wore because it was going to get thrashed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was going to get gross and stinky. Dude. Like, and so, like, that little bit of not caring because it will get thrashed turns into.
Actually, now I'm going to wear this all the time because the shirt is like ripped and my shoes are shitty.
Yeah.
And my fucking belt is a shoelace and like women are flocking to come to my room that only has a mattress.
I'm eating beans out of a can that I heated up over a butane lighter.
Trap, do you think skaters are hobos?
What? No, I know skate culture, guys. I'm cool. Hobos? I'm cool. And it's like, oh, I'm going to hop on the trains and ride all the way to Tuscaloosa because I'm a skater.
Here's all my things in a little, on a little stick, on a little pole.
Yeah.
I'm doing a cameo in the Home Alone movie.
Yeah, you know, I'm leaving messages and chalk outside the fence post so that the other skaters know it's safe to stay here. I know more about hobo culture than I do skate culture. Yeah.
That's fine. It's a cooler. It's probably a more legitimate culture. Anyways, I want to be them. I love them. I'll be 50 and I'll be like, dang, dude, I wish I could skate.
Oh my god.
Well, what about you, Zach? Do you feel like now that we're like you're starting a brand new arc with mostly new characters and you have like a full arc under your belt, do you feel like there's stuff you want to try doing differently this time? Things you learned the first time around that you're trying to implement into your new arc?
Definitely. I think what's nice about this is just generally experimenting with tone. I feel like I was driving this sort of premise of the obelisk pretty hard last time. Mm-hmm. And I think there's room to be a little more open-ended with this one. Like, definitely conflict and like challenges and things ahead, but like not so plotty in some ways, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's room to not be so plotty, I mean. But I think thinking about the first arc, which was very much like Willy Wonka mixed with, you know, The Hobbit or whatever, this one is just going to be like adventure at sea is basically like kind of the overall premise with a few things that I kind of don't want to necessarily spoil yet.
Sure. There'll be like a detective who's like, you know, a little obsessive compulsive, but he's like really good at solving mysteries. But the
he's
one mystery he can't solve.
Impossible to interact with.
Right. Yes. He's just like, it's like he's because he's so particular.
But he's
but
so
like,
good.
He's so brilliant.
But
he's just brilliant,
so
you know?
Good.
But there's one case he can't solve. Oh, and that's you
what's
know,
that?
His wife died and he can't, if there's like a block there, he just can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of like the bigger arc over the whole thing.
And there's one thing he can't solve.
Yeah, is it kind of like that vibe, like you sit with the show and you're experiencing with the character and then you realize like it is a jungle out there?
Oh, for sure. It's a jungle out there. Something and confusion everywhere. Yeah.
Stop. Can you guys just stop?
So the first, 10, 15 minutes of each ep will be us all washing our hands over and over?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Sharona's there.
Sharona
My?
Is there. Yeah, I mean,
which class
some, like,
am
TV...
I again? Did I already say it?
You said Drunken Master.
Mm-hmm,
which
is what is that?
A monk.
Oh, okay. It's, a monk. It's a jungle out there.
Do, 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 do.
It's a jungle out there? What
it's
the fuck
jungle.
Does that mean? What are you
it's
talking
jungle
about?
Jungle out there. And that is not the voice
song,
of Grib.
Does he say that?
I'm not doing
it. Wow, Grib reveal. Grib. You heard it here first.
Grib reveal is Randy Newman.
Horrifying. I'm already in trouble with you three.
I'm going to be,
yeah,
like,
you
during
just
the
said...
campaign, Zach, I'm going to be normal.
Oh, right.
Like, I'm doing
normal
you a
guy.
Favor. I'm a normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a normal, I just A to B, baby.
Normal elephant man with a flame familiar.
I just get up, I go to work, I go to bed. I save my coin.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me so sad he doesn't know any other Loxodons.
What are you saving for?
Just a plot of land, baby, so I can garden.
Oh, wow. That is really normal.
Yeah. I put into a very diversified sort of like Vanguard type investment portfolio. You know, the returns are reliable and it's not very flashy, but it, you know, gets the job done. And
widespread
yeah.
shallow pool.
Yep. Do you have a like a credit card with points? You
gotta, I don't do credit. No
credit. Wow.
Here's something. We know that Turbine's coming into this arc looking for clues about this obelisk. Does anyone else, do you think you have any like personal
motivations? I think I have all of them.
All of the personal motivations?
No, I think I have all the clues that Turbine wants. And I'm going to reveal them all at the very top of the first episode.
I'll just say, and of course, Nancy, make a deception check after you do that.
I love all of them in response to what sort of personal motivation do you have? Just imagining great. Like in an acting class, like, and what is your character's motivation?
Nancy is
like,
a compulsive liar.
Yeah. All of them.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for you as a Loxodon to want to, like, want your plot of land. It sounds like you want a peaceful life. But it does, I mean, I can imagine you're curious about where you came from to some extent.
Oh, for sure. There is a genuine curiosity that has been, like, traumatically shoved down to belong. You know, Grib can't ask himself that question too much because then he starts to realize like, oh, I am not from here. I do not belong here. This is not my place.
But you're a normal guy. Yeah.
And he just wants to be a normal guy.
It's like so normal. It's abnormal.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Do you drink, Grib?
Grib is like a good little druid boy. Like he's got his tea. He's really not into the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
hell yeah.
He wants to practice mindfulness and presence. so he really does sort of abstain, I think, from things that cloud the mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do Loxodons have like hands? Like what are their hands like?
I think it is like sort of
like stumps, I think like elephant hands?
Their top things I believe are like phalangeal.
How many fingers do they have?
Yeah, I think their top hands are phalangeal.
Are there any rings?
Four. Is there like a Ninja Turtle type hand?
I think it might be a Simpsons hand sort of thing here. I'm gonna
look. They got like big yeah.
It's a total Simpsons hand situation. Yeah. It's a four digit
wow
sort of thing.
I just looked up do Loxodons have hands and I just clicked images and God, there's some really ripped, beautiful Loxodons.
Oh, Grib is pretty chunked, like he's thick. He's got that thick boy muscle.
Hell yeah.
You can see it.
Like a corn fed farmer.
Like a barrel, just that sort of like
yes,
hell yeah.
Wide chest, full like keg of a like solid.
Correct.
What is Grib's like attire like?
Grib is sort of like kind of like the only sort of like thing that he has that connects him to is like Loxodon identity is this like jewel he's always had, which is these things like Loxodons always have some sort of jewel kind of running from their forehead to their trunk, and his is these like sort of gold triangles and with a little like purple sapphire inlet, and that's sort of like the only fancy thing about him, and otherwise he's just like kind of in like a Mortal Kombat-esque like no sleeve vest, like kind of like
Sub-Zero,
kind of like Jax.
Oh. The iconic Jax
costume. Yeah, number
the part
one
that's
character.
Iconic. Not his metal arms, but his vest.
Well, you have to wear a vest so you can show off the metal arms, Zach.
Mm. Yeah. So it is sort of a vest, and it's like a flowy kind of flowy, like when a girl goes to India and gets those pants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, so he's kind of got those flowy pants and like a
but
vest.
But less appropriative.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because you are exactly. Loxodon, that seems like the...
Wait,
he wants to show off his like big arms and his chest and his like weird abs, you know? So he doesn't wear a shirt.
Am I wrong? Have you just described Aladdin's ensemble?
Oh my God.
I just accidentally described Aladdin.
Do you have a little
You're
fez?
Right. You're 100% right.
Do you have a
yeah,
little
Yeah, I guess
fez?
He's kind of a like Aladdin-esque. Yeah.
Wow, damn. Cool.
It could have been worse. I could have like accidentally described like Kenny from South Park or something.
Just this kind of like orange hood that's always up.
It's a little hard to understand him.
Tightens it.
That's so funny. Yeah. That's so funny.
Guys, he can die. One of his powers is he dies all the time, but he can come back to life.
It's pretty cool.
I will say, I think Nancy Ray has a possibility that she's been working towards for a really long time. So with dog breeding, you know, I imagine she has all female dogs. Male dogs pee all over the house unless they're spayed or neutered. When you're a dog breeder, you don't need a spayed dog. So she's already paid the stud fee.
Of course, I should say, of course.
Yeah. Of course.
Yes.
She's already Western Mutual sent. She's wired $2,000 to this person with the most incredible dog. That's the stud fee. She needs to go west, and so she's bringing her best dog to mate with this other dog.
Amazing.
So just she's letting you know that's what I'm up to. Or are we going east? Wait, did I flip that?
No, you're right. You are going west.
I'm going west. Everyone else is going east.
Cool.
I'm just kidding.
We'll follow two disparate adventures.
It's just me crushing fucking full throttle energy drinks, quietly waiting for my boat, which is different than
Nancy swims across the ocean, it seems like.
It's Nancy Ray, everyone. Like, she either goes by Nance or Nancy Ray again.
No in between.
Nancy Ray. Nancy, okay. Gotcha. And that last name we've changed to
Ogon, G-O-N.
Mm. Got it. Good.
I just know I'm in trouble. I know.
I'm a normal guy.
Hey, you keep saying you're a normal guy, and it's actually kind of putting me ill at ease. Like, the more you insist you're a normal guy, it's like the more it makes me kind of like wonder if I should be like curious about this.
I don't know.
All right. Well,
I think I'm saying what I mean.
Well,
I don't know. I'm not much of a comedian. I'm more of like a straightforward, just like, you know, I say what I mean.
Sure. But again, just like insisting that you say what you mean, like it kind of just makes you sort of wonder if you mean the opposite.
Huh. I'll think about that.
Okay.
I'll think on that.
I am not involved in insurance fraud. So.
Okay, but I didn't ask about insurance fraud. So the fact that you're bringing it up right now, yeah. So
I'm not involved. Not involved in insurance fraud.
All right. Okay. Mm.
Just so y'all know. I mean, I thought we were trying to paint a picture. So I've painted it with some facts, and I'm painting it with debunking some rumors, and it's that I'm not involved in credit
fraud.
So there are
rumors that you're involved
in. What's that?
There better not be,
because I certainly have not been taking out credit cards under the name of the deceased in my neighborhood. So,
okay. Very specific denial. It's a very specific denial. Weirdly, it feels like the fact that there's so many specifics in that denial kind of makes it sound.
I think that maybe makes it a stronger denial, right? I don't know.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll agree to disagree.
You're under arrest.
You're under arrest. Zach just plays a cop and immediately arrests me. We got him.
Just reporting to the police station. Just wanted to let you know I am not committing insurance fraud. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
You're on record. We recorded it. You're wired to a microphone in front of you.
What? What is this, a podcast? What is this, Scam Goddess? Shout out Lacey. Let's do a cross podcast.
Lacey, I'll invite you to the Zoom right now.
Incredible. Right. She's in the waiting room.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Well, I think that's really like all I had to discuss today. I'm very excited to get this arc started. And I'm excited to see how you all, what this weird ass party is like together.
Let's get these
dogs. Should we hit record now?
Allie?
That's so a do you want question. Me to hit record right now, or should I start?
Eat my head.
Now that we're all caught up, now that we're caught up, like as a people who are doing the show, we're gonna do the show now, right?
Yeah, we got good.
That was just the catch up, right? That was the recap.
I feel warm. Like I'm ready to riff and like totally talk about our character.
That was a great warm up.
I'm canceling the podcast forever. Okay. Awesome. Well, I think that's it for today. I think we covered the whole Session Zero vibes. Looking forward to seeing this trio come together in this next arc. And I think that's it for me. Anyone else have anything they want to say before we go?
Don't forget about the big revoice.
Say that again?
Damn. Don't forget about the big voice reveal, episode one.
Big voice reveal, episode one.
Oh, if you can put out a press release, actually, because I think people are going to want to get on that. They'll want to know that like this is coming down.
For sure.
Variety
Thank
is
you.
Already covering it.
Thank you. Thank you for handling that.
Awesome. All right, well, see you next week. Thanks.
Bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.